Hi, this is, I think this is the first mini-sode. I don't know if that's the right word. It's the second mini-sode. It's a new one regardless. It's possibly the third. No one knows. There's been so many of them. This is just a regular thing we do now. We
didn't want to tell you. Is it Christmas again?
It could be Christmas, yeah. We didn't want to tell you what the topic of the next episode is going to be. In the last episode where we talked about the fifth element and Luc Besson and Chris Tucker and all those fun things. So we're going to find out in this episode. Yeah, that's not what we talked much about, but
it was in there.
Look, there were a lot of spicy topics in last episode. And if you didn't listen,
Bruce Willis shoved his fist up a blue woman.
It was a circumstance that could not be avoided.
We're shamelessly looking for those clicks, and we'll do anything. We'll say anything. We'll talk about anything.
We will shove our fists up blue women's.
That's still not entirely true. Okay.
If it comes up, I'll do it, though.
Gosh, I hope it doesn't. Well, I am regretfully Dan Hurt, and I'm here with Greg Lepore and Ty Roberts. Hello, gentlemen.
Dan, you handled that well.
Thank you very much. In this episode, we're not going to do much. We're going to talk briefly about some of the stuff we've been watching recently because there's other things, and I think this is something that at least I've wanted to do for a while, is kind of just even poke at some other things that we watch casually, because we usually pick a topic, and it doesn't always have to be a watch. It could be a listen. It could be a, I don't know, a taste. Who the fuck knows? But there's always other stuff that's going on, and I've always wanted to kind of just kibitz about that stuff. But
topics we want to graze, but not actually turn into episodes.
These are not deep dives. Not deep dives, yeah.
And then we'll give you the choice for the next episode at the end. And you get more content. And we're getting those sweet, sweet clicks.
Mad clicks. MeUndies. The MeUndies guys and gals are going to be happy with this episode, I think.
Magic Spoon. Use promo code.
MyPillow? I think we're one of the seven companies that still works with MyPillow. I could be wrong.
Well, we're going to have a few meetings.
We could get JB's. Maybe
we know. Okay.
We could get JB's.
I may have misspoke. Sorry, Mike. Okay. So that being said, gentlemen, what are we watching? I want to go to Craig first for what are we watching? I don't want you to include all of us. I want you to just do yours. What are we watching? I want to do what is Craig watching first, and we'll start with Craig.
I'm going to abuse this topic right off the bat because it's the first time we've ever done it. Excellent. We've never set a precedent.
Excellent.
So I'm going to talk about two things that are very prominent in my life. The show that I'm watching as well as the game that I'm playing right now. Because I
knew that was coming. Yeah.
Yeah. So the show that I actually just finished with
Commander
my wife.
Commander Keen?
We actually finished it about a month ago. We finished it about a month ago, and it was much, much better than I thought it was going to be. I did raise it with both of you guys in our chat separately, and it was kind of, I think, what started the conversation about maybe working this segment in, where, hey, let's have these conversations on the pod about shows that we're watching that we're not necessarily going to do an episode about. But the wife wanted to watch a little show called The Good Place. I knew was a comedy. I knew it stars Kristen Bell, and it's about the afterlife. And it's a little 22-minute with the occasional hour-long episodic comedy about people who go to the afterlife. There's a dozen plot twists in this thing that are so outlandish and unanticipated and so incredibly well-executed. Plot twists that I've never seen a show have the balls to pull off. And there's about six of them. Like if Lost would have done one of these, it would have been the most bonkers, amazing TV you could possibly imagine. And these guys did it for me. Like I said, five, six times where I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe how much stuff they've kind of changed or thrown out the window or just made you just drastically alter the direction of the show on a dime in such an entertaining way. The show is complete. So the finale has been filmed. So if you do want to go back and watch this one, we found it, I believe, on Netflix. We went through all four seasons. It has a very satisfactory wrap up. It was funnier than I thought it was going to be. It's written by, this was my favorite thing that I found out about this. And I found out about the second season in when I started to look in and think, who are these people? What have they done before? The creator of the show is most well known in my world previous to this as Moe's, Dwight's cousin or Dwight's brother from The Office. I forget his real name because I don't have that ready to go. Why would I? But he was also one of the main creators on Parks and Rec, I guess. So he does have some chops in writing, and this was his baby start to finish, and it's a great show.
I watched a little Parks and Rec recently, and I like it.
Yeah, I got to give that one a crack for sure.
Really funny.
Yeah, I've got to give that one a crack. It's been a blind spot of mine for a while.
Could I just you mentioned Lost. Just a quick one of my favorite people on the planet Earth, Norm MacDonald, was talking about Lost recently, and he just pointed out something I didn't think of because I never watched the whole series, but he pointed out how hilarious it was that everyone guessed they were in like a purgatory after the first season.
Like the first show ever.
Yeah. And then the writers, like, it's unclear whether they had a plan or didn't have a plan at that point, but they said they did. And they insisted that, no, they weren't in purgatory at all.
Yeah, there was like, defense.
And then after how many seasons of that show?
Six, I think.
They were in purgatory.
I mean, it turned out they were pretty close, if not in purgatory.
Yeah. They actually wrote them into purgatory at the end. This is a side thing, but I was very much into Lost and how it progressed. And Lost was an open-ended show for three seasons. And it started to go downhill creatively. And the writers of that show negotiated towards an end. They said, give us three more seasons. They didn't say, hey, you're done next year or you're, you know, they said, give us three more seasons and we are going to write it down towards an ending point. So there's a distinct switch in narrative once you start season four that starts down the path that they denied was their end game in season one.
But isn't a Lost to J.J. Abrams joint?
Lost was, originally he was
started that way. At least,
when is this guy going to fucking learn to write an end to a story before you start telling it?
He was only involved. It's perfect J.J. Abrams. He was only heavily involved with the writing and creation of the pilot. But he had his name on it the whole way. Yeah, he had his name on it the whole way.
J.J. Abrams, the best writer of the beginning of a story with no end.
Yeah,
the man can do an intro.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do we finish this? Oh, I don't know. Bye.
And sorry,
just to you assholes.
Just so I don't take all day with this, the game that I'm playing is a PlayStation 5 game called Returnal. It's a game where
that was Returnal. That's a made up word.
Returnal. You heard that, right? It's the word return with Al at the end, or Return with anal at the end. If you're into that.
Oh, that makes more sense.
That's not right, but it's Returnal. It's about an astronaut who crashes on an island on a planet. And you have to kind of investigate some various things, but it's a genre called a roguelike where every time you die, the whole fucking game resets and very little of what you've done carries over. So it's extremely challenging. It's extremely tense. I dumped 3 hours into a run last night and died. And so I get to carry over about 1% of that progress and have to restart from scratch. Like you die and within 3 seconds, you're looking at the opening screen again because the load times are so fast on the PlayStation, but it brings back tension into video games in a way that it brings back tension into these things in a way that has been sorely lacking. Because if you think about games that we played when we were very young, first you would go to an arcade and you put a quarter in a machine, and when your quarter ran out, you were screwed. You had to spend another quarter and start over. Eventually, you got a continue option if you had another quarter. And then as games moved towards home, that was brought in. But then there was save points. And then there was checkpoints. And the hand-holding has just kind of got a little more progressive in gaming. And this one just rips all of that comforting structure out from underneath you. And literally every room for your whole three-hour run, for my whole three-hour run that I did last night, any one of those guys can end my game and wipe out what I did. And it's a fantastic feeling that I think is been missing in games for a long time, and I'm really loving it.
For all you West Coast elitists, those PlayStation 5s, look for that on the store shelves. Pick that up.
Hell yeah, it's great.
Craig, I'd like to ask you a question, going back to The Good Place, if we could. How tall is Kristen Bell?
I'm going to say she's 5'4". Complete guess.
You're way
off.
Did
anybody Google it?
Yeah, I did. No, I didn't Google it. I IMDb'd it. She is the world's smallest woman. I saw a picture of her with the other cast. She's 5'1".
It's cute as a button, though.
Well, yeah. Did you guys ever see, not that I'm watching this now, did you guys ever watch Veronica Mars?
No.
No.
I only think of her as Anna or Elsa, one of the sisters from Frozen. I know she does one of the voices.
The one that shared the name with Hitler's girlfriend? Is that Ilsa?
I don't think that's what they were going for.
Full circle, bring it back to Hitler.
Yeah. Welcome to the Hitler cast. So in the in Veronica Mars, strange thing, because there was the most amount of rapists per capita in that show. Every episode, it's like, who's
Veronica
the
Mars today really would just be another CW show to put on the bonfire.
It really would. You know what though? I really liked that show because it was like 20% completely batshit crazy, and then at least 50%. Awesome show, and then there was like some squishy stuff in between, but there was some really cool stuff in there.
For our international listeners, 1.55 meters.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Mr. Metric.
Conversion,
Mr. Metric. All right. Well, thank you for that return all and the good place there, Craiger. Mr. Ty, what say you, sir? What are you watching?
I recently watched the film Wrath of Man.
Okay.
Which is a Madonna's ex-husband joint. What's his name? Guy Ritchie?
Guy Ritchie. Yeah.
Skeletor, you mean? Skeletor? Madonna?
What do you call him? Skeletor?
Madonna.
About halfway through this movie, it became so obvious that he couldn't care less about continuity. And, you know, I've seen this guy's movies before. I know he made one good one that you guys talk about. What is it again?
Snatch.
I don't think I've seen that one. Everyone I've seen seemed like way over artified garbage with no substance in it. But if he's made good ones, I'll defer to you on that. But this one,
go ahead. Sorry.
While this is a decent, like I like watching Jason Statham. I think he's a cool guy, and so it's difficult not to like his component of it. A couple of things this guy does that I just wanted to touch on. First of all, he's got this little sound note. Okay, every time Jason Statham's on the screen, it goes, like this is a crazy sound.
Okay.
They must play it in the first 25 minutes of this movie 700 fucking times. Like, and to the point where it loses all of its feeling associated with it. Like, the first time you hear it and you see him coming, you're like, oh shit, you don't even really notice the music's there. It's kind of like, but then it becomes so prevalent that you can't help but notice it. And it's just, okay, we get it. This is a menacing dude. You do not have to play that note every fucking time he looks at the camera. It's starting to lose some of the effect. And then they did this. It's like a heist thing at the end.
Shocking.
And if you don't want spoilers, don't listen. But they plan this heist.
I don't want spoilers.
Shut up. They plan this heist as they get deeper into the execution of it. Okay. They plan it together, but they start losing guys, which is obviously an unplanned thing, right? So this 8-guy crew turns into 2 dudes, but at the end they've got one like mini car at the end, or two dudes are left. They got 2 4-wheelers hidden to go away, but there used to be 8 guys on the team.
Yeah,
there was nothing else. Like
they weren't planning for everybody.
Like wait a minute. Like my wife and I both looked at each other. Like wait a minute. Where are the other 6 4-wheelers? they didn't know any of these guys were gonna die. Like it's so fucking dumb. That happens in this movie all the time. That's and stupid. Every time it happened, we didn't have to even say anything to each other. We just looked at each other, shook our heads, like, what was this guy thinking? Like, how do you not catch this when you're editing this movie? How do you not? Can you CG a couple more in the background? Like, do something to fix this. It's just obnoxious.
Question about this movie. Anyway. How did you find the performance of one Post Malone, or Austin Richard Post, as he was known, pre-Malone?
Yeah, Tracy pointed him out to me in it. He's not in it a lot. And I think, you know, he does his job. He's a believable. I don't recall him as the source of any of the continuity issues. everything that's happening.
Cast as Robert. It says.
There's this one point in the film where Jason Statham is supposed to be, he's the number 2 guy for half the movie. Then all of a sudden everyone starts calling him boss, like out of nowhere. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Wasn't he just taking orders from the other guy? Yeah. But now he's the boss. When did that happen?
Now he's the boss.
I think that there's cutting room floor shit on this movie that Guy Ritchie went to the premiere, watched it and went, oh, fuck, I forgot that part. I should have stuck that in there. This might be an interesting one to get the DVD extras on one day. But anyway, I watched it. It was it's a fun watch, but it's not the best movie in the world. And since you mentioned a game, I've been playing the remaster of Mass Effect 2.
Of what?
Oh, very nice. Mass Effect is a video game series. Yeah. So he's playing the second.
This was like late, like around 2010-ish, I want to just guess. That's when those games came out. And they've been recently remastered and put on newer machines, and they look a lot better. And Mass Effect 2 was my favorite of those games. And so I've been playing the remastered version, and it's everything I remembered it was.
That's part of a trilogy series, is it not?
Yeah, that kind of, unfortunately, it's another J.J. Abrams situation. Didn't end as well as it began, but... but still good, worth playing.
Very nice, Dan. What are you watching?
Yeah. Oh, hey, what a unexpected question. You know, in the Fifth Element episode, I brought up the Orville, which I think is one of the things that I've watched recently that I kind of wanted to talk about. And I think Norm Macdonald has already been brought up in this episode, but yeah, he's a recurring character on this show. Is you might he? Not recognize him in there. Yeah.
I did not know
but,
that.
So The Orville is a show that's penned by Seth MacFarlane, who I think most folks know as the Family Guy guy. He was also the guy behind American Dad. He's also got kind of a crooner album. He's a singer. I mean, he's a talented voice guy, right? And he's fairly funny. I shouldn't say that. He's a funny guy. I think he's one of the not best actors in the show. I think his voice acting is tip top. I think his like human acting is fine. Mm-hmm. Like it's pretty good. But it's a really cool show that I think it's very much, and again, it's called The Orville. It's very much like Star Trek Next Generation. But what it does is it takes certain concepts and it takes certain characters and it really takes them to the fourth and fifth level where they might touch on some shit in Star Trek Next Generation. It really digs into things that you think, well, how does that actually play out? Well, you kind of find out with the characters that they bring into the Orville. They really take stuff to the nth degree.
What do you mean? And, like how does that weird shaped alien use a toilet? Like,
so, well, kind of. So there's one character, Bortus, and he is from an all male species. And it starts off being like super silly. Right. And they urinate once a year. You learn this very early on. And
audience, Dan messaged us after watching the episode. He's about the reference here, but I never received the follow-up impressions when he finished the series. So, and extremely invested in what he's about to say.
And to do a callback to a previous episode, Dan and I have talked about this during a round of Fortnite. So I'm having this conversation again, but I love it.
Well, so they touch on really strange issues like trans babies. Because here's the thing, and I don't want to do a lot of spoiler alerts for the Orville, but with this all-male species, you think, well, gosh, that's interesting. How does that actually happen? Well, what they do is they clarify and maybe it's not actually an all male species. And then there's sort of political and sociological ramifications from that. And it gets into like really fucking weird territory. And there's a couple episodes where me and Jess were like, oh, for fuck's sakes, we just kind of wanted like a light 45 minute show where we could just kind of like have some fun. And now we're dealing with trans babies. Jesus Christ.
Trans babies.
What is happening?
Oh my goodness.
So it occasionally gets like super heavy, but then it kind of finds its way. But they do deal with really interesting, strange issues. And I think one of the things to its credit, you know, I'd recently heard I watched a short YouTube video that featured Trey Parker and Matt Stone from South Park. And they had walked into I'm sure it was arranged, but they had joined a screenwriting class. They just kind of walked in and they were sitting on the desk and they were just talking with everybody and it was really cool. And the big thing that was in this short like 2 minute YouTube video was one of them, I don't know which one's which, but one of them had said the way that you can kind of spot good writing compared to bad writing you've got a story and then something happens and then something else happens and then something else happens. But whereas good writing, you have something that happens and because of that, something else happens. And because of that, something else happens. And it's incredible to see on the Orville, you see these things that are set up in very like seemingly superficial ways in the first few episodes, but they really, they have this incredibly long through line where they impact the story in insane ways. And like the, like where Star Trek Next Generation has the simulator, they call it the simulator. What do they call it?
Holodeck. Yeah.
The holodeck. They have this holodeck. So it plays in a major way in a few episodes, but it's not just like a self-contained holodeck. It comes into play and with this kind of like all male species character into really gets into really fucking creepy territory and like icky territory. But it's a great show. It's a really, really cool show where if you don't want to be too invested, but occasionally get like be so forced to think about it, things in a different way. Yeah.
You had seen that intro episode and mm-hmm. my impression was that you were not, you thought it was stupid. You weren't too cool, keen on it, but this is, and I remember saying this will come up later, like keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you obviously did. So yep. were you satisfied with how it came up and how it was not resolved? I wouldn't use the word resolved, but were you more satisfied or were you more, what were your feelings on how it continued at like that storyline?
No, I was really, really impressed. And I think, you know, one of the things you watch a show for is this level of closure. Like you want to watch a serial show because at the end of the episode, the characters are all in the same place that they were when the episode started. And it's like that for 4 years, yeah. right? And that's not how this show is because the things that happen in reality, and this is one of those weird things where it's like in real life, you don't get to have closure all the time. You don't get to start the day the same way you ended yesterday.
That's like why this show does Star Trek better than Star Trek is doing Star
Absolutely.
Trek. Now.
Absolutely.
And the reason it does is because it exactly what you said. It took the Next Generation and it put it somewhere. It actually did the proper natural evolution of that. Because yep. back in the late 80s, early 90s, you weren't going to have a show that wasn't going to be tied up with a bow at the end.
Yeah.
So they, but they still tackled things, right? And yep. there were episodes, like I remember there was a Star Trek episode, speaking of, where they went into a planet and every character on the planet was sort of gender neutral. Okay. But then yeah. some people in the population felt female and felt male, and Riker's attracted to one that feels female.
Hey, you know,
and then they re-educate her, and then the Enterprise flies away and they can't do anything about it because they don't interfere.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of it wasn't an ending where anyone felt good at the end. It was kind of like, oh shit. Well, you know, this is their culture and it isn't right to interfere with it. That makes sense, but it also isn't right what they're doing necessarily. And so it was, you know, but the Orville takes that idea. You can have politics in a show and not what I would say CW it, where the nice answer verb. At the end of the episode is very clear. Like,
yeah.
well, obviously the most left wing thing you can think of is the moral of the story and the end of yep. the CW episode. But yeah. what Seth does is he takes issues like that, which are argued in culture for a reason. There isn't really clear answers on a lot of these yeah. topics. There's some people feel one way a little more, some people feel another, but there's a reason why these arguments keep happening forever is because they're difficult to resolve. Like there are moral issues on both sides. And he's not afraid to just make that the end of the episode is just say, well, you know, we did the best we could. We probably didn't make the right decision. Like what I liked about that is they made a decision in one of those episodes which they started second guessing 5-6 episodes later.
Yeah.
And I thought that's great. Cause it's being political, but it's not like holding up one left or right ideal as the answer. It's saying there's a reason why we argue about this is because there's pros and cons to maybe both arguments. And we should really just try to do our best with the solution with the tools we're given at the time. And I really like that show for that. I should get a lot of credit for how it's written. To be honest, because they talk like that, I'm amazed. Like, this is one of those shows that somebody one day, I'm super afraid of, is just going to get that thing canceled. They're going to do the wrong thing. They're going to say, I can't believe it's flown under the radar for two seasons. Yeah. Because there's crap said in these episodes that he's clever about it, but he's going to get caught. Like,
he is smart. No, yeah. Seth MacFarlane's a smart dude. Craig, what's on your mind?
It's the kind of thing where Twitter will latch on to this randomly one day, and then it'll all be over, and somebody will get pressured to cancel it.
I know we're getting heavy there for a minute, but I did want to point out that yes, Riker flew away without being able to establish his relationship with the alien who identified as, or you know, felt female, so wanted to pursue that before she got re-educated. But Kirk would have hit that shit. Is all I'm going to say.
Oh yeah, Kirk. Well, Kirk, you know, those were different times. They sure and were. He wouldn't have been wrong. He wouldn't have been wrong
of his time.
Yeah, that wasn't the wrong thing to do either. I totally support Kirk. You know, they're two consenting adults. I think that was totally fine.
You know, it's interesting the way you kind of phrased something a moment ago. It's you referred kind of to there's moral discussions on both sides, and there's this tension that. Is life. There's this tension of, well, do I do this or do I do that? And a lot of times you can argue it both ways, you know, and that's where this right and left spectrum of politics seems to come from. Well, I just like that tension, as soon as you remove that tension and you say it's all this or it's all that, that's when shit's going to go straight to the bottom. And we need to have that tension. Yeah.
Well, it's just I can't believe he's gotten away with it, because I can't think of a show that is more empathetic of two sides of a coin than that show is. It's extremely well done. I'm really looking forward to another season of it. So,
yeah.
I hope we can cover some serious topics going forward.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're all grown ups here, right? Speaking of a complete lack of tension, we also occasionally watch the Superstore here, which started off kind of strong. It takes place in like a Walmart type store. And that's, you know, there was a moment where these three gentlemen thought that they could actually pen something that reflected retail life in a comedically situational circumstance. And, I've always,
that show sucks.
Well, the first couple seasons of this show, I thought was all right. No, the first couple seasons, there was some stuff where it was a funny show, it was an enjoyable show. But I felt like as soon as they hit season three, it's like the tension between this or that is completely gone. And it's obviously this. And it's like, oh, for fuck's sakes, okay. So like any episode that you can avoid politics is great. But then in the ones that they can't, it always ends up in one place. But, you know, I guess that's what you're paying for with something out of Hollywood. Okay, so that being the case, I think that is the things we've been watching and a little bit more.
Some political commentary, guys.
That's right.
We solved some problems today by not trying to solve some problems.
That's right. That's how you do it. That's the unintentional tension.
Let's just all live on our own islands.
According to J.J. Abrams. So that brings us to the what are we going to watch in the next or for the next episode of the Corn Tigers podcast? Craig, I go to you on this.
So, Ty, I've sent Ty a link. I don't want you to play it immediately. All I want to say is I think it's going to be obvious. I think that this has been percolating and for us throughout many episodes now. And I think it's the next logical step on the Corn Tigers journey that we do this together. So, Ty.
Every civilization was built off the back of a disposable workforce. But I can only make so many. Shh. Happy birthday.
I got goosebumps.
There is an order to things. That's what we do here. We keep order. The world is built on a wall that separates kind. Tell either side there's no wall, you bought a war.
You're a cop. I did your job once.
That's okay.
I was good at it.
Your story isn't over yet. There's still a page left.
Daniel Hurt, Ty Roberts, listeners of Core Insiders, we are going to watch Blade Runner 2049, the sequel to the movie that we enjoyed covering so much for no other reason than I really want to fucking watch this. I've never seen it before. And I'm very, very intrigued by the story. We've been sci-fi heavy, and I am in a heavy sci-fi mode. And I'm really looking forward to watching this. It looks great. Everything that I've heard about it associated with our previous episodes, everyone loves it. And I know that wasn't the case with the first one, as we discussed. It kind of was a confusing movie for a lot of people at first, and the love for it grew over time. But this one has the benefit of kind of standing on the shoulder of giants, so to speak, is the phrase that people use, right? So it kind of starts in a different place, and I'm interested to see where it goes. So, and it'll be the first series, I think, that we've completed, because there's not another movie.
Couldn't be more happy about that.
I knew you were going to love this one, Ty. So, guys, I will say, full disclosure is I do not know where this is available.
I think it's on Netflix, eh?
I think it's
Netflix.
I'm good to go.
Ty owns it, yeah. This is the first series that we'll be completing, with the exception of The Tiger King, which
completed. As far as we know, is done. Dan, yes. I saw The Tiger King is going to do a traveling road show, and it will be coming to our neck of the woods if you want to grab a ticket and go.
Are you serious?
If you want to go meet John Rinke with me, we can go do that.
Oh my gosh, that might actually have to happen.
So guys, Blade Runner 2049. We don't obviously have a date for when this is going to happen. I will promise you that we will try our best to make sure it's not a fucking month from now, though.
Yeah. I think I can commit to that.
All right, let's hit it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning into this, well, what was planned to be a mini-sode. Ty Roberts is our best boy grip. I am Dan Hurt, and I produce and write this along with Craig LaPorte and Ty Roberts. It's a three-legged table, friends. Music is from filmmusic.io, and most of it's even written by Kevin MacLeod. Zapsplat is where we pull some of our clips and sound drops from. And you heard the trailer for Blade Runner 2049. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Reach out to us at thecorntigers@gmail.com and at thecorntigers on Instagram. Let us know what you think.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Hell of a trailer, by the way. That's a great trailer.
A lot of bombs.